Okay, good evening. It is Monday night, September 12th, which means in a little less than 2 weeks from now, we will be celebrating Rosh Hashanah 5783, Tavshin Pei Gimel. And we are going to be spending a tremendous amount of time in shul, already beginning this Motzei Shabbos with Slichos, which I encourage everybody to join. We'll be having a really labadik, very special Slichos and Shabbos this upcoming week with the traveling Hasidim. We'll be here all of Shabbos, and they will be leading the Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. It should be really beautiful and really, really inspiring. And we're going to be spending a lot of time in shul with different books, right? Not just your regular sitter that we have, but with the Machzorim, the Slichos one, Yom Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we literally say every single page. And it's incumbent upon us to spend time to prepare for the Yamim Noraim. Spend time not just doing personal introspection, considering, thinking about the things that we need to work on over the upcoming year, going through our year and thinking of ways that we can improve. And also, I would say, not just focusing on the negative, but really focusing on the positive. What are our accomplishments? What are we thankful for from this past year? And how can we use that to propel us moving forward? But in addition to all of that, we also should use the sitter as a tool to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to work on ourselves. And we need to think about the machzor and what it means, and the tefillahs that we're going to say. And really, if we had the time, we could spend hours and a multi-part series on the machzor from many different dimensions, from a historical dimension, where do we get the machzor from a Kabbalistic, Hasidus, what are the deeper meanings, what am I doing and accomplishing by saying every single word of the sitter, and just very practically, what are we saying to God? And I think at a very basic level, that's our responsibility to try to figure out what are the words that we're saying? And there's so many different tools that we could use today, both in preparation and even b'shas maaseh while we're in shul. Yeah, the art scroll sitter, you know, this all started with the Birnbaum sitter. And then we had the art scroll. Now we have the Koren. And now we have the Rabbi Soloveitchik sitter. There are many different ways that we can have a bring our own sitter to shul and really connect with davening itself. The translation to English is really special, immaculate, beautiful, inspiring within itself. And I urge you to purchase those for him. In addition to that, I'm just going to share with you some of the things that I have here on my desk that I use to prepare this year and previous years. One is, this is Yamin the Ryan with the Magid, Rabbi Pesach Kron, more of the story style type of really great. If you like stories and inspire you, that's excellent. I have also a Sefer by Lubavitcher Rebbe. Actually, I have two. This is called Ha'Maor Shebe Moadim. And I have two other svarim. One is written by Rav Druk. If you come to my Parsha Shirim or you hear me on Friday night, I am really inspired by the Torah from Yisrael Meir Druk. He's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael today. He had a Chavruso with Chaim Kanievsky. And a Rav from Chicago, Rav Menachem Betzion Zaks, who his svarim are have not been published for a very long time. They're out of print, but you can access them online. And he has on Parsha and also on just on the Yamim Noraim. So I found some really beautiful gems in there also. So let's begin. If you're just coming in, this is, you know, what I'm sharing right now on my screen is just our guide to all the 10 ideas. I have the notes here in front of me, and I'm happy to share them with you afterwards. So we begin with Avinu Malkeinu. They're not in a specific order. It's more thematic than in the order of the Machzor itself. So we're going to say, starting on Rosh Hashanah, throughout our Seder Yemei Teshuva, culminating on Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, the most intense one of all, is Avinu Malkeinu. And we say Avinu Malkeinu is really originated from the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the first one to use that terminology, which is really like opposites, like Avinu Malkeinu, my father, my king, our father. And that's really the relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we're going to highlight that in a few different points throughout our learning this evening. Avinu Malkeinu, I want to focus on one of them. Na'al Tashivenu Rekam Nofanecha. Hashem, my king, please don't, leave me empty-handed. Please don't leave me empty-handed. Na'al Tashivenu Rekam Nofanecha. Literally means I am praying before you, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you for refuah, for shiduchim, for so many different things, for parnasa. I need your help, or this person needs your help. Please don't leave me empty-handed. Says Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks in the Menachem Tzion, something so beautiful. This hopefully will frame our learning. An additional deeper meaning to these words. Don't leave me empty-handed. Hashem, I'm going to put in my time and my effort over the next few weeks, over essentially the entire month of Tishrei. Don't let it leave or stay in the month of Tishrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's bring it into the year. It shouldn't just stay here. Sometimes we work on ourselves and things are going so well. I want to work on davening. I want to focus on being a better, more patient and compassionate person, especially for those that live in, in my home. And for the next few weeks, we are awesome and it's amazing. But then we revert back to our normal selves right after or a week or two afterwards. We dive into Hashem that we should take the inspiration with us. Na'al tishivenu reikam nofanach. Hashem, I don't want to be empty-handed. I want to go into the year with new things, with inspiration, that I could use my Rosh Hashanah, my Yom Kippur, my time in shul, and it spills over into my year. That's what we say in Hosea, Kechu imachem devarim, vishuvu al Hashem. Take with you things, and then you will return to God. Meaning, when you return back, the shuvu Hashem doesn't mean to return to God in the shul. When you return back to Hashem, right, after the course of the year, bring the things with you. Bring the inspiration. Bring the motivation with you into the year. Lubavitcher Rebbe has an unbelievable thought on this idea. Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is from Yom Kippur. The Rambam, the Seder Avoda on Yom Kippur, and it's a very fascinating thing to just ponder and think about. The way we do Yom Kippur today is fundamentally very different than the way that it was done on during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Hashanah is more or less the same. Yom Kippur is fundamentally different. Yom Kippur, the focus, the emphasis, the highlight was really, or the spotlight, was on the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And he had many things to do over the course of the day. He spent 7 days, essentially the entire Seder Shemei Teshuvah, preparing for this day, and really his entire life preparing for the day of Yom Kippur each and every year. And the Rambam tells us the order of everything that he does. He has to change into Bigdei Lavan, and then he changes into the golden garments, Umaktir Ketores, he has to bring in Ketores, and he lights the menorah, and then he brings another korban, etc., etc. And now listen to the last line. The Lovish Big Day Atzma. Then he says, Yom Kippur's over, right? Yom Kippur's over. He changes into his regular clothes, right? The Yotze Labeso, and he goes home. The Chol Ha'am Melavin Oso Abeso. And the entire nation follows him home. Now asks Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is Rambam Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis. Why is this a halacha, right? Why is this a halacha in the Rambam? That I get it, that he has to bring a korban and a ketores and change his clothing, many times over the course of the day of Yom Kippur. But why is it a halacha that he changes back into his everyday clothing and goes home? What does that tell us? Why is that a halacha? And he says, because sometimes people are so great in Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur, in that zone, that very intense time that we have. He says, is that mashpia on them? Does it influence how they are at home as well? So part of the avoda of the Kohen Gadol, part of his service, is not just what he does in the Beis HaMikdash, right, in the shul. What does he do? Does that affect him or her, right, when he comes back home? So that's with the frame of what we are looking at right now. Continues on the second thought, right? How is this going to affect us when we go back home, right? What are we working on? Do we have lists? Are we making lists? Or do we have an idea, a thought of what we want to work on over the course of the year, or things, or different areas of avoda that we want to improve upon or build upon from the previous years? Second thought comes from the Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, writes the following in his Sefer. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, many of us do, we bring simanim. We have, everyone has the apple and honey, that's classic. And then some people have everything else. The fenugreek, right, the leek, and the carrots, and the black-eyed peas, and all these different things. And the pomegranate, and it's beautiful. And really, just understand that. The Meiri writes that this is not just playing a game, that each one of these yihirat zones is a tefillah to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Whether you actually eat the fish head or you don't eat the fish head, that is between you and the fish head. But the goal is to daven. And this is, we're using those things as a prop, as a vehicle to pray, to daven for us, for the Jewish people, for our family, for everyone that needs tefillos. And this is how we do it. And it transforms our suda, our meal, into a tefillah as well. So we say in the rubia, we take the rubia, and I think we'd have black eyed peas, and we say Yehi Ratzon sheyirbe zechu yoseinu. Yehi Ratzon that we should have many zechu yoseinu, many merits. Now asks the Rebbe, this seems to be a little disingenuous to daven that we're going to have, that our enemies are going to be destroyed, which a lot of them are about enemies being destroyed, to daven that we should be at the head and not at the behind. I get it. But how could we daven right now that we're going to have more zechuyos? Either we have zechuyos or we don't have zechuyos. So two answers to this question. We also say in Avinu Malkeinu Kasvenu B'Sefer Zechuyos, Hashem, write us in the Book of Merits. Either we have the merits or we don't have the merits. Are we asking God to write a lie? Are we asking God to fib? What does that mean? So two answers to this question. One is from Rav Yisrael Salomon. This is my favorite, my answer that I've seen many times, and you probably heard from me before, that we're davening Hashem, give us the opportunity to have more mitzvos. Give us the opportunity to do more. When you get that email inbox, that text from your friend, come to the shir. That is when you daven, year bezechuyos seinu. Oh, well, that's how it's playing itself out. To have more zechuyos. When someone says, make a meal for somebody that I don't know yet, right? Oh my gosh, that I said this on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yeah, I have more zechuyos seinu. I have more opportunities now. That is year bezechuyos seinu. We're davening Hashem that you give us more opportunities to do mitzvos and get close to you. That is really what we say in Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem ro'i lo echsar. Ach tova chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayim. Right, that we pray and we daven, that tov and chesed just chase after us our whole lives. That we're busy and we're tired from doing good things our entire life. That's thought I saw from Rav Yisrael Salomon, Yishai Rafu Shlema, he's a mashgiach in Lakewood. Rav Teitelbaum, Satmar Rebbe, says something different. He says, not looking forward, but he is looking backwards to understand this. The Rambam writes, the Gemara tells us that when we do tshuva, our mistakes, our hiccups that we did over the past year don't stay as averus. They don't stay as sins. If we use a mistake, a sin, a pit that we dug ourselves into as a stepping stone to growth, and we use that as a learning opportunity in our lives, and we use it to get closer to Hashem, then, right, that's tshuva. And if we do tshuva, then that avera becomes or can become a mitzvah. So Sheyir Bezechud Yosenu, he writes, is a tefillah that we get closer to Hashem through doing his mitzvos and doing tshuva. Tshuva is one definition, tshuva is returning to Hashem, returning to ourself. Rav Kook writes, returning to who we should be, our potential of who we could be in this world. And when we do that, the averos that we did in the past turn, they transform into zechu yosenu, they transform into merits. Idea number three. If you would like to ask a question, you can either unmute yourself and ask the question, or you can use the chat feature and text me on the chat box your question. Third idea I saw was shared to me from Rabbi Shalom Baum from Keter Torah in Teaneck. Really beautiful thought. Why is there no Aliyah L'Regel? If you think about it, right, what are the most important days of the year? We have the Shlosh Regalim, and we also have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And these are called the days of awe, the awesome days. Yamim Noraim. Why is there no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on these days? You would argue that there's no better place to do tshuva than in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Why are we not commanded to go? And you'll tell me, rightfully so, then we'll just be out of the office for the entire month of Tishrei. And maybe Hashem has some mercy, some compassion on us that we shouldn't be off the entire month. Maybe. So he shared with me one beautiful idea from on his own, and then he shared with me one thought from Rav Moshe Wolfson. He said that really the Gemara tells us where is the best place to do tshuva, right? If someone does an avera and they want to change, right? The Rambam writes that you have to be back in the place that you were in, right? And the whole scene needs to repeat itself to change, right? To change. Right. Some people think they need to go to far off places to become transformed to a completely different person, and then they could do tshuva. No. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about working on ourselves, and change starts from the home where we are always. It doesn't mean you need to run off to other places to transform who you are. The change comes from within and starts in the most important place that we have, our shul and our home, our bais. Thought answer number one. And answer number two is from Rav Moshe Wolfson. Rav Moshe Wolfson writes the following. He writes, or he asks the following question that he develops. Rivka, I'm not sure which connection, Lo B'Shamayim he. Oh, Lo B'Shamayim he. Thank you, Rivka Hertzfeld. Great point. Lo B'Shamayim he, that we have to, B'Ficha L'Vavcha L'Soso, here. We don't need to go up to Shamayim to serve Hashem. We do it right here. Thank you. Very good point. Next, Rav Moshe Wolfson writes the following. Rosh Hashanah is the same gematria as Beis HaMikdash, 861. Okay, 861. And what does that mean? On Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and on Yom Kippur, we're putting paper on the ground, right? You see men walking back from the bathroom, and you're taking like these like paper towels and putting them on the ground. Some people bring these fancy towels or sheets, and they put them on the ground. I think there's one organization that had a fundraiser where they sold one with their, you know, logo on them, and we're bowing. We're doing hishtachavaya in our Bate Knesios, which is very, very odd, because this is something that really is only relegated for the Beis HaMikdash. So says Rav Wolfson that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, our shuls become a bechina, become like Yerushalayim. They become like, we don't need to go to Yerushalayim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because Yerushalayim comes to us. Our shuls become, they transform into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple on the Yamim Nara'im. Therefore, we do not need to go ourselves. Hashem himself comes to every shul and to every tent. That's why the Gemara tells us that when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it transforms us. It's like we are inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, it's like we are inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim when we do it. That's why, last idea that where Wilson proves this from, is that when the Chazan, how does the Chazan begin on Shachris? He says HaMelech. Where does he say HaMelech from? He doesn't say it from the front of the shul, from the bima. He says HaMelech from his makom. And that's the highlight, that HaMelech, Hashem, the king, is everywhere in the shul. The Shechina resides everywhere because the shul is like the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we begin with Na'al Tishivein Rekama Fanecha, Hashem, going through Yamin Arayim. We don't want to be left empty-handed. We want to keep that inspiration, pack it up, and continue on throughout the year. Zechuyos Seinu, two answers about what Zechuyos are, backwards or forwards. Why no Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Fourth idea from Rav Druk, very simple idea, but very important to keep in mind. We say Zachreinu L'Chaim and V'chasveinu B'Sefer HaChaim. We say this beginning on Rosh Hashanah at Ma'ariv, throughout all 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So he says, why a double language? Remember us for life and write us down for life. So he says that the Ari, he got two answers. Number, base, simple answer is that Zachreinu is less official. Just asking somebody to remember something, you know, my kids ask me all the time, could you remember I need to buy, just this is just today, dividers, and remember you forgot to buy that book from the bookstore for my class, and also I need tin foil for a project, and we need sandwich bags for snacks, right? So remembering it, halavai, right? I do remember it. I could hold that all in my head the whole day, right? So it's less official. It sometimes slips out because I care about it, right? But I don't always, it doesn't always stay. Kasvenu is stronger. It's closer to inscription. It's not chasima, right? But when you put it down to writing, we can remember it even more. So it's like a stronger language than Zachreinu. That is the one approach. The second, Rav Jor quotes from the Arizal, where he says that Zachreinu refers to remembering things spiritually, right? That is a spiritual remembrance. Hashem, remember us in life spiritually, right? That things maybe should be a little bit easier for us, or that, you know, we should have a special divine intervention in our learning or in our davening, right? We should have success in these areas. Kasvenu l'chayim, write us down, he says, and you know, think about it, Zachreinu is not physical, it's not manifested in a physical way. Remember, so that's spiritual. Kasvenu, writing it down, that is the physical things, our health, our livelihood, our, you know, that is kasvenu. That's from the Arizal, just to understand the words that we're saying. Zachreinu is on the spiritual matters, kasvenu is on the physical matters. Another just understanding. Wait, we have a Vayiskor Elokim es Noach. Very good. We're going to go back to, we're going to get to Malchios Yechon show for us very soon. Thank you, Rivka. It's a very good point. Micha Mocha. This is, again, this that was the insertion for the first bracha. Now in the second bracha of Ata Gibor, we add something else. Micha Mocha Av Harachamim Zocher Yitzurav L'chaim Barachamim. Who is like you, merciful Father, who remembers his creations. L'chaim, mercifully for life. Rav Druk points out a contradiction in this line. You know, we've said these lines so often in our lives that we don't notice what we're saying. And it's so important to go slowly. Micha mocha av harachamim. You know, who is like you, the merciful Father? Zocher, who remembers what? If the sentence fit, you know, clearly, and it worked with the first part, Zocher, not Yitzurav, Zocher Banav, you know, remembers his children, right? He's our Father, merciful Father, who remembers his children for life with mercy and compassion. Why does the sitter flip the language? Yitzurav and Av and Father. Those two don't stim. They don't fit together. So Rav Druk writes that there are two things, two ways, or love can exist in two different, manifest itself in two ways. A person has a natural love for his children, right? It's a very natural thing. But there's another type of love, or how love can manifest itself. If somebody worked really hard on something, let's say somebody was building a boat, or somebody was building a bookcase for that matter, and they got that bookcase from IKEA, and they worked really, really hard on it. But I'm not gonna say I love it, but you have a very strong attachment to that specific thing because you worked on it really hard, right? You're strongly attached to it. You're connected to it. You're rooted in it. And you're moving, and it's hard for you to give that piece away. The thing that you bought, the desk that you bought and you paid somebody else to put together, you can give that away, you know, much quicker than something that you really toiled on, even if it's imperfect. It's something, it's a yachas, it's a connection. So it says Rav Druk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us in two different ways. And they both work simultaneously. One is we are his children. He is our Father, and we are his kids. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. In addition, Hashem has invested a tremendous amount in us. We are his handiwork, right? He is our cheerleader, so to speak. And I mean that in only in the most affectionate and beautiful way. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we're not just his children, we're his Yitzurah. So we're mentioning here both languages, that the love and care that Hashem has for us is manifest in both of these ways, as his children and as his handiwork. And in both ways, we're emphasizing how much he cares about us. And we highlight this on Slichos night. And Shlomo Itan Katz sang this song so beautifully. Haneshama lach v'haguf po'alach chusa al amalach. Right, we say to Hashem, this, our soul is yours, and the body is your handiwork. Take pity on your labor. Right? The neshama is that deep connection, right? But also have pity on your handiwork. So the love expresses itself in two different ways. And really, if you go throughout davening, you will see this thematically play out a lot in davening. This could be the Avinu Malkeinu, etc., similar theme as well. Let's go on to the sixth idea. Comes from Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital points out the following. He says, when it comes to our davening should be, why I got darker, should be specific. Or it should be as specific as possibly, as we possibly can. That's why it's important to prepare. I am a big fan, just give you some of my hacks. You'll always find on my desk things. See if I find them there.
Of course you will.
But yeah, I have, these are all written on. These are, right, what are these called? The post-it notes? I love post-it notes, and I love sticky notes, the ones that go into Sfarim and mark them up, the flags. I use these all the time. And what I try to do before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and I really should do this more often, is that I write on post-it notes, different categories of either people or things that I personally, my family, the community needs tefillos for. And I write them down and I put them into my machzor. I put them in different places, whether it's in Shemon Esrei, El Kainitzur, or maybe by shofar blowing, at different moments, at different kavanos for those things. It's very important to know. to know. Obviously, we don't know what we're going to be davening for. We don't know what's going to happen over the course of the year, but we try to do our best. And we see this very, very clearly in a language of the Machzor. We say, Simcha li'artecha, sas li'rech, etc. The tikva tova l'dorashecha. We daven, right, that good hope to those who seek you. And those who seek you are dorshin to you. I have good hope. So what's good hope? All hope is good, right? Hope is what really pushes people along, people that are ill, people that have nothing to, if you have hope, that's what you hold on to. All hope is good. So tikva tova, even though all hope is good, it should be very specific. We should be as specific as possibly as we can in our tefillos. And Rav Druk uses this idea quoting Rav Chaim Vital, to express this. And the Zohar says that when somebody davens, they should try to articulate their tefillah as much as they can, even though hope automatically connotes something positive. We should be abundantly clear as possible in our tefillos and say it as we need it. Okay, oh, I moved out of order, and this one really connects with this. Salachti kidvarecha. Vayomer Hashem, salachti kidvarecha. Hashem says, forgive me as you asked. Now, where did these words come from? These come from Chita Meraglim. Meraglim sinned, and Moshe, Hashem said, that's it. Destroying the entire nation. Right now, right here, right now. Moshe davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't destroy the nation now. Do it over time. And that's what happens, right? We know Tisha B'Av, people went into the graves, and some came out, some didn't come out for the 40 years, and the whole generation was renewed by the end of the 40 years. So Moshe davened, don't wipe them out now, do it over time. So Hashem says to him, Salachti, I forgive them, like you said. And says Rebaruch Abejvich, the Talmud Muvhak, the main student of the Baal Shem Tov. This was a patch to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Hashem says, I would have done more. I only forgave them based on what you said. And if you would have asked me to forgive them carte blanche right now, I would have done that too. I would have destroyed the entire generation. I would have done it. But I only followed what you davened for. You davened for this, for little, to destroy them slowly. You could have davened for much more, and you didn't. I followed what you said. And he says, this is an inyan gadol for us to go big in our tefillos. Hashem is kol yachol. He could do anything. And we've seen it. So therefore, he says, Salachti Kitvarech, we said over and over again on Yom Kippur, to come in upon us to focus and emphasize that idea in our tefillos, to daven for big things. Continues on, both on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have the Uvechains. We have Atah Kadosh, we don't say Melech Kadosh, and in that we elongate that third bracha. And in there we have the Uvechains, three Uvechains. Why do we have Uvechain? Very simply put, comes from the Avudraham. The Avudraham writes, what does Uvechain refer to? Refers to a pasuk. Does anybody know? Unmute. Who said Uvechain? Esther Hamalka. Right? Mordechai said to Esther, Esther, you know why you're here? Why don't you were put here? As the queen by Achashverosh to save the Jewish people, right? And if not, someone else is going to save them. But you are here to save them. So Esther says to Mordechai, you know what we're going to do? You're going to daven for 3 days and fast for us. We're going to do the same thing. And when we all do this, uvechein avol lamelech asher lo kadas. And then with all the koach of all of that, all of those filos, Uvechein, I will go before the king. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We go before the king. Uvechein is a language of going before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uvechein, right, with all the kolach of Vodot Tfilos, allows us, permits us to enter this realm of going before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uvechein ten kavod Hashem la'amecha. Uvechein, therefore, let's give kavod, honor to Hashem. Uvechein ten kavod Hashem. Hashem should give honor le'amecha. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Hashem should give kavod to his nation. So says Rav Menachem, Rav Tzion Zaks, the following. He says that so many people, you know, are embarrassed. They're not proud to be Jews. It's hard for them. They don't show it in the world arena. It's hard for them. They shy away. They're not proud of who they are. So we daven uvechein ten kavod Hashem lamecha, that your nation should be proud to be who they are. And then when in the public arena people are knocking us down, we should stand back up. And we should be proud of who we are. And that's why we also say in another one of the simanim, Yiratzon sheniyeh l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. We should be the head and not the tail. But he writes also, this is not just true about the nation, but it's about us. We ourselves should be proud of who we are. We should be proud of our accomplishments. Tein kavod Hashem l'amecha. We should stand before our God with a sense of confidence, obviously with achna, submission, tremendous amount of humility, but also like we know that Hashem gave us kochos, gave us potential, gave us real things in our lives where we can make a difference. And when we come with that sense of humility and confidence together, then we can really make a difference in that world. And we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chein tein kavod Hashem l'amecha, that Hashem gives us, helps us on that confidence, helps us that we feel that in our own lives. That's number 8. So it's achreinu and ksiva, spiritual things versus physical things. Micha moch avarachamim. We focus on both elements of how our love is manifested with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both as our children and as we are his creations. Tikva tova, be specific in what we daven for. Go big or go home in our tfilo salachti kidvarecha. And we should have kavod, we should have confidence in who we are as an individuals and as a nation. What's unbelievable is how do we prepare for the shofar? Right? Every year, you might find yourself scratching your head. Not literally, maybe you are, I don't know. But right before we're about to blow shofar, we say chapter 47 of Tehillim 7 times. Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. And it's like chanted, Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. Right, and we go through it 7 times. And it sounds so strange. Why before prepare for one of the holiest moments in Rosh Hashanah? Are we talking about the children of Korach, of all people? What did the rabbis have in mind by highlighting this as part of our tefillah? So the Medrash tells us that who were B'nai Korach? We know their names. They're from Divrei Yamim, exactly who they were. They were part of the rebellion of Korach. They were on Korach's side, and they were going to get swallowed up in the earth along with Korach. Yet, in a decisive split-second moment, when the earth opened up and was about to take them in with everybody else, they reversed their direction and ultimately did tshuva. Right? They changed their mind and realized the fallacy of their life up until now, the mistakes and errors that they have made. And they said, we were wrong. They owned up to their mistake. And ultimately, their lives were saved. And Chazal tells us that they were the authors of some chapters of Tehillim, including this one that says, Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mizmor. Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, in an excellent book called Tshuva, which is really great. It was written by, I forgot who published it, but it's very, very good. I have it at home. You can have it somewhere on my desk. Definitely borrow it if you'd like. He writes here that that's one very important lesson. But you also see from here is that that's all what Korach needed. Korach could have been saved too. And it wasn't Korach's error or rebellion that caused him to go down that pit, because they also rebelled, his sons. It was that he didn't change and admit his mistake at this moment. And if he would have admitted a mistake, Korach also still would have been around. He also would have survived. So right before we blow shofar, there's such a moment of clarity, right? We all focus on the listening to the shofar, and yeah, that is the mitzvah. But what's even more special is the moment right before we blow shofar. The entire shul is silent, is quiet, right? We're getting ready for the shofar. We're about to announce, page up the page, whatever. Listen to the brachos, don't answer baruch hu, baruch shem, only answer amen. Silence. That moment's moment of clarity to say, Hashem, I made a mistake. I'm ready to move forward, to get closer to you, or closer to the people around me, and own up, just like, and be inspired by the children of B'nai Korach. And that's Rav Menachem Tzion. Also, Menachem Tzion says the following: "Bikol haShofar Holech veChazek Meod Moshe Yidaber Elokim Yanenu B'kol." This is one of the pesukim in the Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofaros. We say that the kol shofar was holech, it went, v'chazek me'od, and it continued to get stronger. And he writes here, not that it was strong, but it got stronger as time went on. When the shofar blew by Matan Torah, the blast got stronger. And he says that that should be our lives. Our lives should be that as we get older, we get stronger in our values, in our beliefs. We get chazik. The shofar should give us that chizuk, that strength, to continue moving forward in our lives in a very special way. And now that we're on that theme, it's very important to note that Rosh Hashanah Musaf is a very unique tefillah. There are three parts, three components to the Rosh Hashanah Musaf: Malchios, Zichronos, Shofaros, and they all follow the same pattern. They quote 10 total psukim, 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Nevi'im, 3 from Tehillim, and then one back from the Torah. And we conclude that with blowing the shofar, making the bracha, breaking the bracha first, and then blowing the shofar. What is Malchios, which means kingships, remembrances, and Shofaros? What do those represent? So one idea is that it represents the past, present, and future. Malchios is honoring the king, recognizing Hashem as our king. That is living in the present. Right? First and foremost, we need to live in the present where we are right now and make Hashem and our priority in life. Malchios represents all the priorities that we have in life and values that we have and make them our priorities. There's, I have a book here, what's it called? First Things First. Right, by Stephen Covey. Make the first things actually first. Zichronos is going back on the past, the remembrances, right? Obviously, Hashem does not forget anything, but it's what do we want Hashem to remember? What are things that we choose to remember in our lives that continue to impact us now? Shofaros, right? Malchus is the present, Zichronos is the past. And Shofaros is talking about the future. We hear the shofar of Shofaros. It's really an opportunity to daven for geula, for redemption, time to daven for peace in the world, especially what's going on, still going on in the Ukraine and really all over the world. To daven that things are fixed, so many broken things in the world itself, which is what leads us to the last idea. Ultimately, we blow shofar 100 times throughout Rosh Hashanah. And why do we blow them 100 times? And Tosfos tells us the reason is because Aim Sisera, the mother Sisera, cried 100 wails when she heard that her son was not coming back for more, that he was defeated by the Jewish army, the army of Devorah and Barak. Now, why are we, keeping a minhag, a halacha of 100 shofar glass from a non-Jewish mother of a war general, right, from Sisera? So Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very beautiful idea. Sisera was a general that never lost any war his entire life. And this gave Mami Sisera a tremendous amount of nachas, and she was really proud, deeply proud of her heroic son. He was never defeated. And each and every time that he would win the war, he would come back to Mam on the way back. But unfortunately, he started up with the Jewish nation. And she waited by the window. Yishkafa ba'ara chalom, Devorah says this in Shiras Devorah, in Sefer Shoftim. And she waited and waited and waited. And Sisera never came home. And when she finally came to that recognition and realization, she cried and cried and cried. Her entire world was ultimately uprooted. The message of the shofar, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is that anything is possible. Anything can happen. Anything is possible. Anything can change in a moment's notice. The confidence can turn to despair. But despair can turn to simcha. Atzara can turn to elation and to joy. And that's why I remember the mother of Sisera on Rosh Hashanah. And I give everybody a tremendous bracha. And as we enter this high holiday, Yom Ha'Nirayim season, with a lot on our minds, really with a tremendous amount of heaviness, communally, within our Shomrei Torah, Fairlawn families, and beyond for the entire world, is that we take this message and aim Sisera to heart. We utilize the opportunities that we have over the Yom Ha'Nirayim season to get closer to Hashem, to daven specifically for things that we need, and for Klal Yisrael, bring other people into your tefillos, other people that also need tefillos that you know or you don't know so well. Bring them into your machzor, into your siddur, daven and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, daven for them, that their tzaros turn into simchos. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will celebrate many good times this upcoming year. Dimheira v'yameinu. Wish everybody, I'll have many opportunities for this, but let this be my first one, to wish everybody a ksiva v'chasima tova. It should be a year of health, tzlacha, nachas, and growth for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Orit Tarnes, for organizing the share.